Welcome to the More Than Fitness Podcast.
And welcome, responsible delinquents, to minisode number 157. And today we've got a juicy topic of discussion that was requested by one of my best friends. I'm sure he's going to be listening to this. If not, what the hell am I doing? What's up, dude? So today we're going to talk about ketogenic diets and what you need to know. There is a lot of stuff to go over today, so I really just kind of want to jump straight into it by first saying, okay, what is a ketogenic diet? What is keto, right? So from a macronutrient standpoint, so from a protein, carb, and fat standpoint, a ketogenic diet, what it's described as, is at least around 70% fat, 20 to 25% protein, sometimes even less, and then less than 5% from carbohydrates. So it is a very low carb diet and a very high fat diet. And it's not even that high of a protein diet, actually, which we'll get into, because if it becomes too high protein, if you try to consume too much protein on it, well, then you bump yourself out of this ketogenic state, because through a very cool process and awesome word called gluconeogenesis, your body can convert protein to glucose, right? So, which your body is pretty awesome and all the things that it can do, which we'll touch on in just a second. But yes, you consume too much protein, it bumps you out of this ketogenic state. So you can't consume too much protein, and it's very, very high fat. Okay, so that is from a macro standpoint. And so with most ketogenic diets, you're going to consume under about 50 grams of carbs per day, right? And the reason why this can put you in a ketogenic state is because normally your body uses glucose. So your body and your brain uses glucose as its preferred energy source. And whenever you take away that energy source, then your liver will start to produce ketones, and your body and your brain will start to run on those. But I think it's very important to note that this is more of a backup and a kind of a mechanism by the body that is more of an emergency fuel source as opposed to the preferred fuel source. So your body wants to use ketones more so as like, hey, let's not die because we don't have carbohydrates. So let's do this instead, as opposed to using ketones for, you know, optimal health and performance, right? So that's a key distinguishing factor right here. You know, so your body prefers glucose, your brain prefers glucose, but if it doesn't have it, it's a very good evolutionary mechanism to make sure that you don't die, and instead you can produce these ketones and still live. Again, not optimal living. That said, I want to make sure that I do give this give the ketogenic diet a fair overview, and so I'm going to go over kind of the pros and cons with a ketogenic diet. And so the pros, and these are very good pros for certain medical conditions, the ketogenic diet has been revolutionary, to be honest. I think that it has absolutely helped out a lot of people. And I think that it's why we have certain diets like this. And I think why it's so cool to have research on these things is because it can be very helpful for people who need something like this. And so some of the medical conditions that keto can help with, a ketogenic diet can help with, this is not medical advice, cancer, so cancer, epilepsy, and then also Alzheimer's. For cancer, you essentially starve the cancer cells. It doesn't mean that, you know, it's going to go away or anything like that, but cancer, there's obviously tons of different types of cancers, but typically they thrive on glucose, right? So whenever you starve it of glucose, it doesn't thrive as much. With epilepsy, there's been a lot of decrease in seizures for that condition. And then with Alzheimer's, it's also, you know, it has to do with the brain. The benefits come from the glucose deprivation, right? So for those medical conditions, it's great. very, very good diet to use for those things. Again, not medical advice. Another pro is that it can be very easy for people to adhere to. It's just like, hey, you cut out carbohydrates, that's it. You know, I think this can be a pro and a con, right? This is a double-edged sword, right? But for a lot of people, at least in the short term, the ketogenic diet can be very helpful because it's very simple. You know, you cut out carbohydrates, you cut out this entire food group, and you're good to go. And for the most part, if you cut out carbohydrates, lots of times that's also going to make people stop drinking as much soda, eating as much candy, baked goods, starchy vegetables, right? A lot of these different things, starchy food groups in general, all of these things that can be very calorically dense and have a lot of calories in them, if you tell people to stop eating those and instead they start to focus on foods like higher protein foods, right? So of course they're going to be fattier foods. So it could be bacon, steak, whatever, right? You know, fattier fish. Those are all great. So you're upping your protein and then you're taking away some of these higher calorically dense, hyper palatable foods like candy and baked goods and everything that I just mentioned, right? So that can be great for a lot of people. That can have very positive outcomes, at least again in the short term. The last thing is going to be that it can be better for hunger and satiety for some people. This is probably due to the and not 100%. So I'd say one thing it's likely due to them probably eating more protein than they normally do. And so protein can be very satiating. Fats can also be very satiating. But this also has to do with the blood glucose spikes. So if you are not consuming enough carbohydrates, your blood glucose will not spike. And you can have these ebbs and flows of blood glucose throughout your day. And so that's why keto can be helpful for that. It can kind of help maintain a steady, steady blood glucose levels throughout the day, and consume a higher protein diet, which will also be better for hunger and satiety, right? Okay, good. Couple pros there. Good stuff, right? Okay, now for the cons. So one of the main cons is that fruits, vegetables, and whole grains are carbohydrates, right? And so I know that on typical keto diets, it is recommended that you still eat vegetables. However, most people doing the ketogenic diet, I would bet somebody if like, hey, I just want to try keto to try and lose weight and stuff, they're probably not already eating high amounts of fruits and vegetables. So what they're instead probably going to do is go on a keto diet and just use that as an excuse to eat, you know, bacon and burgers and hot dogs and, you know, just straight up meats, as opposed to really putting an emphasis on those vegetables that they should also consume. And so usually that's just vegetables and not as much. I know the keto people are not as high on fruits and definitely not whole grains either. And so that can cause its own issues. Seeing as how those three food groups are going to be very, very nutrient dense. So they're going to be have a lot of nourishment in them. They're going to have a lot of vitamins, minerals, phytonutrients, and also very important fiber as well. If you're not consuming as many carbohydrates on a regular basis, there's also going to be a bigger chance for nutrient deficiencies, right? If you're just not consuming these foods that are very high in nutrients, shocker, you may develop some deficiencies if you keep that up over time. Right? So that can elevate your risk of nutrient deficiencies whenever you don't consume enough carbohydrates. All right. The next thing is going to be that high fat diets also appear to, I'm going to make sure that I read this correctly. High fat diets also appear to reduce microbiome diversity and promote specific strains of bacteria associated with the development of obesity, right? So your microbiome, your gut health, all of that stuff is very important. And so there has been some research to say that higher fat diets are just not favorable for your gut. And so it makes sense. Ketogenic diet is mostly fat. And so this is something that you need to consider. And it also makes sense if you're not consuming as many fruits, vegetables, and whole grains, right? You're not consuming enough fiber. You're not consuming as much of these food groups that very, very positively affect the gut, the microbiome, all of these things. And so these kind of go hand in hand, and it makes sense. For fat loss, whenever you match, there's been studies done that whenever you match protein and calories between groups, and then you have a low carb group and you have a high carb group, whenever it comes to fat loss, there's basically no difference, right? So that's fine. If you prefer a ketogenic diet, if you prefer a low carb diet and you find that it's somewhat easy for your lifestyle and easy for you to adhere to, then awesome. If you match protein, you match calories, you get those under control, then you can still lose just as much fat as somebody else who is doing a higher carb diet. So it's not going to have much effect on fat loss. So I guess that's kind of a con, but then also a pro, if that makes sense. Okay. The next point that I had here is that said, I would argue if you happen to overeat on a high fat diet, so if you do happen to be on a keto diet, but you're still in a calorie surplus, your body is more readily available to store that extra fat that you've eaten as fat tissue, right? Because it doesn't have to go through any conversion to store that as body fat. Whereas if you overeat on carbohydrates or protein, your body has to do a little bit of extra work to convert that to body fat. And that's a different process. But simply put, that's essentially it. The more fat that you eat, the more prone you are whenever you're in a calorie surplus to likely store that consumed fats as fat tissue. So that's something to think about. And then the last thing is going to be one of the things that you guys definitely are going to care about, and that is muscle gain and performance in the gym, right? Carbohydrates are the main fuel source for our muscles whenever we lift weights. So anaerobic exercise, right? This is one of the big drawbacks of a low carb and ketogenic diet is that our muscles use glycogen, our muscles use glucose, and it's the most readily available fuel source so that it can act immediately in something like lifting, for example, right? The glucose is right there in the muscle. You're lifting with your muscles. It's a very efficient and quick process that is going to allow performance to be optimized, right? It just makes it much easier than your body using, say, fat or ketones and stuff like that for energy, as opposed to glucose, which is right there within the muscle cells, ready to use, ready to perform optimally. And so that is one of the biggest things with these low carb diets is that it can affect your gym performance. It can make you weaker. And whenever you're weaker, you're not building as much muscle. And when we're not building as much muscle, we get sad. That's right. Okay. And the last thing that I want to talk about this, those are the main pros and cons of the ketogenic diet. Let's see. Also, one thing that I didn't have down here was on like energy. And some people say that they just feel more energy while on a ketogenic diet. And I think that could definitely be a pro. You know, again, that's something that can be very subjective. And these people may feel good while on this ketogenic diet, but I would also like to see how long that can last. And I've also heard people that feel like absolute dog shit. Actually, I'd probably say that I hear more people feel like absolute dog shit on keto than vice versa. But some people say their energy is good. I would say some of that is probably placebo effect. Some of that is probably from cleaning up their diet as a whole and taking out some of the shit that was in it before. They're probably paying attention to other things in their diet and lifestyle that are going to be more health promoting and energy promoting as a whole. Maybe they do this subconsciously, right? And so all of these factors are going to play into account for having more energy on a ketogenic diet. So that's something to think about. And now the last thing is just from a practicality standpoint with the ketogenic diet. And so the biggest downside to keto, and I want you to pay attention very, very closely. The biggest downside to keto is that you don't get to eat any fucking carbohydrates, right? Like, that's it. And seeing as how every culture in the world, one of the main parts of their meals, of all meals, and sometimes their entire way of eating is built around carbohydrates, it just makes it very, very difficult to adhere to this diet long term. And it just makes you a huge pain in the ass to everybody around you who has to cook for you, right? It's just, this is it. This is it. It's just difficult to stick to long term. Carbohydrates are in everything. And so it just makes sense to, hey, maybe instead of trying to take the shortcut, because that's probably what you're doing, right? You're probably not doing this because you think it's going to optimize anything. Maybe you thought before this video that it was going to optimize a few things. But now after watching this video, you kind of see the pros and cons. And you're like, ah, you know, the benefits probably don't outweigh the risks or the downsides, right? At least I hope so. And the biggest thing is you need a diet that you can stick to. You need something that you can be consistent with long-term, that is adaptable, that's versatile in different situations, that doesn't have a lot of friction with everyday activities or the people that you interact with or the events that you go to or work or events with kids or family dinners, right? Or whatever it is, it's just not very practical and it can just be much more of a hassle than it needs to be because there's other ways to go about it. There's better ways to go about it. And if you just take the time to figure those out, those types of diets instead, just a more inclusive diet of all the macronutrients and without major restrictions, I would bet that your everything would improve, right? And it would just be much easier to stick to long-term and you'd be healthier and happier and more muscular and less fat than if you tried to really stick out this ketogenic diet, right? The best shortcut is to stop taking fucking shortcuts. Right? And that's all I've got to say about the ketogenic diet. That's where I'm going to end this on. So I hope that that was helpful. Of course, if you have any questions, just send me a DM, send me an email. I'd be happy to help. If you like the podcast, please, don't know where that came from. Rate, review, subscribe, leave a comment, share with a friend, share with family, share with your dog, make them hit the like button and make them rate and review on iTunes. And that's it. Thank you guys, as always, for listening and for watching. See ya. And that is that, my friends. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the More Than Fitness podcast. And please, if you could help me out a little bit here and leave a rate and review in iTunes and also take a screenshot and post it up on your IG story. Tag me at MattMcLeod6. I'd love to share it. I'd love to connect with you. I'd love to hear your feedback about the podcast and also so that we can share the word with other people. I would love to build up this community, build up this tribe of people that we have like you and I, and get the word out there. Also, if you want more free content, you can check the links in the description. I have my free 4-week workout plan, The Ultimate Physique Development. And also, if you want to work with me online, one-on-one for personal coaching, you can check the link in the description as well. And anything else you need, please send me an email, send me a DM. I would love to hear from you. Again, thank you so much for listening.